Let's get back to the conversation I recorded yesterday with writer Alec Wilkinson about the loss this week of his friend and mentor, William Maxwell. Maxwell was a fiction editor at The New Yorker for nearly 40 years. Wilkinson has written for The New Yorker since 1980. In fact, he wrote about Maxwell for the magazine last winter. He knew Maxwell since childhood, when Maxwell and Wilkinson's father were close friends. I know in the interview that I recorded with him in 1995, and he was 86 at the time, he said that he enjoyed getting older. He said, I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
Yeah.
And I wonder if his sense about age changed as he got older than 86, as he progressed toward 91, the age that he died at.
I think one of his pleasures in aging was the way in which his memory worked. And I think there was such a richness to his recollections that the quality of them were changing over time, that he as he got older, that I think was part of his pleasure in old age. Also, I think one of the satisfactions of old age for him were the numbers of younger people who'd been his friends. He'd lost so many of his friends who were his own age. His Robert Fitzgerald, who was always one of his closest friends from his days in college, almost everyone else had died. And even of the generation after that, many had died. But he had a lot of friends in their late 30s and 40s, poets especially, whose company delighted him. And I think he never, towards the end of his life, he had certain physical ailments, although nothing really, except he just kind of declined. His body slowed down on him, but he didn't deteriorate into any of the terrible. He always had a fear during the period when he was talking to you, he had said to me, "My 90s loom up before me with a kind of horror." And I think he thought that what would happen is that he would fall down a lot, or that he would break bones or things like that, none of which really happened. He fell sometimes, but as anyone would.
William Maxwell's wife was 13 years younger than he was, and she died last week, just 1 week before he did.
Right, 8 days earlier.
You were at her bedside when she died. That's a privileged place to be. How did you come to be there with her?
I wasn't there when she died.
I'm sorry.
I think what you're thinking of is a wonderful day. The day before she died, there was a radiant, exalted sort of day where a number of her friends, the poet Edward Hirsch and Michael Collier, the poet, Bill, me, various friends of hers, all together, maybe 8 people or so, were in the room, and her 2 daughters, Brookie and Kate, and the daughter of her oldest friend from Oregon were there. And we sang one of her favorite songs, had been the Cole Porter, the faux cowboy song, Don't Fence Me In, which she used to play on the jukeboxes when Bill was courting her. But she was from the West. She was from Oregon. She grew up on horseback. And she loved the song, and we all sang it to her around the bed, and Bill held her hand, and she said, "Why don't we open a bottle of champagne?" And we did, and we drank champagne and sang, and she closed her eyes and sang with us. She was one of the most beautiful women I've ever known and seen. Her beauty had a great deal to do with the radiance that was on display in her eyes, and even on that day, the next to last day of her life, in having had cancer for nearly 2 years and fought against it, her eyes just glowed. She smiled, and they just glowed. So it's a day that nobody, I think, who was in the room will ever forget, and partly because of her immense courage and dignity and grace.
Do you think that it's not a coincidence that William Maxwell died within days of his wife dying?
Well, it's one of those complicated questions of whether or not it's possible to bring about our end. And I think that he was in such despair. Nobody ever thought a couple of years ago when Emily fell sick, Brookie, their daughter, said to me, I don't think, father won't last a week if mother goes. So I think that they were so in love. They'd been married 55 years. It was a great love story and immense intimacy between them. I've never seen anything like it. And it's always the idea that two people could love each other as much as they did has always been inspiring to me. And leaves one hopeful for the possibilities in one's own life. He was very downcast when she died, but I think also he went through a few days where he really was, I think, trying to get out of this world. But then he decided one day that he really wanted to be around for his daughters and for his grandson. He had stopped taking medication for whatever complications he had and started taking it again and had agreed to have a couple of treatments for things that he needed to keep going. So I last saw him on, I guess, the day before he died, but I had expected to see him again.
Mm-hmm. What did your friendship with William Maxwell leave you thinking about old age?
Well, I guess I have two answers. One is that I certainly hope to hit a spectacular age like that. I think it was a great thing for him to be able to see his children grow up for as long as he did, and to be with them, and to see his grandson, and to be with Annie for so many years. But I also think, really, what I think about Bill and what I got more than anything else was just the deepest love that I've, other than for my wife and child, I have ever felt for anyone. And it's not particular to me and to Bill. I know everyone, all of his closest friends, Edward Hirsch, Annabelle Davis Goff, the writer, Shirley Hazard, the writer, Michael Collier, his daughters, we've all been talking on the phone these last few days trying to console ourselves against something that is, of course, one can't console oneself against, and that's impossible to absorb, which is that this great man and this great woman are gone and exist only in our hearts.
Would you recommend a couple of William Maxwell's books for our listeners?
Sure. I think briefly I would... my favorite is So Long, See You Tomorrow, which is a novel about the Midwest in the early part of the century and a murder that took place there. I love the stories in Billy Dyer and other stories. I love his novel, The Chateau. I also love his collected stories, All the Days and Nights, which include not only a number of his stories, but several of the fables that he wrote as improvisations that are included in The Old Man at the Railroad Crossing. But there isn't anything that I don't take down off the shelf all the time and read through.
After William Maxwell died, was there any particular piece of his writing that you turned to bring back his voice?
Oh, God. I can't bear to. I can't look at it yet. It's just... Edward Hirsch told me yesterday that he was reading some of the stories, I'm in a borrowed house, and the only book on the shelf is So Long, of Maxwell's, is So Long, See You Tomorrow, and I can't go. I drown if I tried to read him now. I miss him so much.
Alec Wilkinson writes for The New Yorker. William Maxwell wrote the introduction to Wilkinson's book Midnights, which was recently published in paperback. Our remembrance of William Maxwell was produced by Roberta Sharrock. Coming up, a review of Clint Eastwood's new movie, Space Cowboys. This is Fresh Air.